Good morning, friends. So we've been looking at Quaker spices over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, something like that. Simplicity, peace, integrity, community, equality, stewardship. And we figured before we move on to Quaker herbs, spices, and rubs, we figured we better stop and take stock. So as we've looked at these Quaker understandings of what it means to be the people of God, it's been clear that these are helpful, if not challenging, that these are ways to look at the world that push us a little bit. And even practicing what we know how to do well of these things is hard, not to mention, as we pay attention to how God is leading us into these things, what we might discover that'll push us to even further faithfulness, and how our understanding might grow as we take these postures seriously. And admittedly, these are admirable ideas, but we can't let them just stay ideas. We're not really going to be the people of God if we venerate these ways of thinking, but don't actually practice doing them. And so it seemed like a good way to conclude our series to think about how we might go about practicing these things that we've said are really good ideas. We don't want to just talk about how we practice. We actually want to practice being the people of God. And one of the themes that emerged for me that maybe isn't a new thing but hit me in a new way this time around is the centrality of the Spirit in all of these distinctives. Simplicity is often thought of as an outward possession, an outward expression of how to be simple. And yet at its heart is the simplicity of focus of life, a life guided by the Spirit. And peace is something we strive for because it's what the Spirit leads us to, and because peace honors the work of the Spirit in others. Integrity is about being true to the truth by being led by the Spirit. Community recognizes our own interdependence and the work of the Spirit in each other, as well as the community we share with the divine. And equality requires that we see each other fully, and that we see God in each other, that we see the Spirit at work in each other. And stewardship reminds us that we are only stewards of what God has given us. We carry out God's intention through us by the Spirit's work in and through ourselves and others. I keep coming back to this verse from Paul in Galatians 5. Since this is the kind of life we've chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. And if we want to be the people of God, we have to not just hold these as ideas, but actually work them out, work them into our lives. On a certain level, this isn't like a just do it kind of thing. It's not like a Nike slogan where you just can pick this up and make this happen, right? I mean, it'd be nice if it was that way. But it feels like this takes work to make this happen. And there's a huge discussion to have about the nature of grace, about how these things get grown in us, whether we will them in ourselves or whether they're gifted to us as we open ourselves to them. How much can we will ourselves to be the people of God and to be guided by the Spirit? And if we don't commit ourselves to the way of Christ, how are these things ever going to happen in our lives? And those are, at least if you're of a philosophical persuasion, interesting conversations to have. And on the other hand, I think they can be sort of distracting conversations to have that kind of move us away from actually practicing becoming this way. Does that make sense? But what seems clear to me is that as people, the way that we do things is that we practice them. We develop pattern and habit. We incorporate what we learned, and we do this in our daily practice. And if Scripture is clear about anything, it's clear that people have a tendency to lose sight about what they're about. We need reminding and we need structure, we need rhythm, we need intention. I'm reminded of Moses and the people of Israel wandering around the desert and trying to figure out what it meant to be the people of God. And in some ways for them it wasn't too hard, like follow the pillar of fire, follow the cloud, get the manna. And yet here's folks who've been told, there'll be manna tomorrow, don't take too much, and yet, you know, you've got people storing extra that's literally rotting in their tents day after day after day. Like, Do you not get this? God is going to provide the next day. Even with these really tangible things, the people of Israel have a really hard time remembering to be faithful. They have a really hard time remembering to practice what they know to be true of what God is doing. And they finally get through the desert in Deuteronomy 6. Moses says to them, as they're getting ready to go into the promised land, and they've received the Ten Commandments, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you, and then get them inside of your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorpost of your homes and on your city gates. And for a lot of folks who come from a Jewish background, they took this pretty literally. You know, you'll see really observant Jews even with like little boxes tied to their heads with this stuff there. It's literally engraved on their doorposts. And it seems to me that one of the first ways we're faithful then is to choose the life of the Spirit, and in doing so to remind ourselves that this is what we're doing. That we choose to stay centered. We choose to stay focused. We choose to remember. And I think that raises the question, what is it in your life that's going to allow you to make that choice? What's going to trigger your memory and remind you that you want to be living your life as a God person? Is it a post-it note on the bathroom mirror so that when you wake up in the morning you remember? Maybe it's a daily breath prayer practice like Lynn suggested in her simplicity message. Is it art? Is it music? A routine to create space? An alarm on your phone to remember to pray? There are a lot of different ways to create space to remember and to remind ourselves, to connect with the Spirit, to be grateful, to offer our lives to God. And they don't need to be complicated, but they do need to be. We need to do things intentionally to remember God is God, to remember that God loves us, to remember that we are called to faithfulness. And remembering is only the first step. Second step is carrying it out, living into our faithfulness to these distinctives, to these convictions, and most importantly, in listening to the Spirit that lies behind these ways of existing in the world. And it's easy maybe sometimes to see the distinctives as sentiments or ideals, but not as a practicable way to live. And it seems to me that as soon as we do that, we've undercut ourselves. If we believe these are only ideals that we can't achieve, then of course we're not going to achieve them. This is the faithfulness we're called to, and working it out is just that. It's work. It's intention. So as we approach our day-to-day lives, the ones we're supposed to be giving as gifts to God, as our worship, we approach each moment as an opportunity for faithfulness. What is God directing me to in this situation, in this moment? How am I loving my neighbor right now? How is God asking me to be a steward of what resources I currently have, be that time or gifts or money or empathy? Or, to once again put it more bluntly, how is God asking us to give our lives away? Frank Laubach put it this way, practicing the presence of God is not on trial. Countless saints have already proved it. Indeed, the spiritual giants of all ages have known it. The results of this effort begin to show clearly in a month. They grow rich after 6 months and glorious after 10 years. This is the secret of the great saints of all ages. Pray without ceasing, said Paul. In everything, make your wants known unto God. I'm also reminded that it's really easy to get drawn into individualism in this. So when we begin to talk about being faithful, we begin to think of just ourselves. And I think in many ways it's our existence as a we that may be much more important. And it's another philosophical discussion. You can't have an I without the we. You can't have a we without the I's. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole this morning, but something to think about sometime. But it's our larger corporate faithfulness and action that will have the greater impact on the world around us. And so it seems to me, when we think about doing this together, there's a couple of things that are really core to our ability to do this. The first is our accountability to each other. Not accountability in the overly legalistic, are you doing it right, toe the line kind of way, but accountability as in encouragement and support to one another. Accountability that is like iron sharpening iron, that is truly knowing one another and calling out the best in each other. What if our lives were transparent with one another, with our deepest hopes and fears, with our stuff, with our money, with our plans and decisions? Not just a meeting of our affairs, business, or theology here at the meeting house, but in our real lives. What if our community helped define direction and boundaries that help us stay centered? And honestly, it sounds kind of scary. I'm not sure I even like suggesting it. Because I want the freedom to do what I want and not be judged. But what if we could build the kind of trust that would allow us to see this kind of interconnectedness as a gift? That would see it as relieving the burden of discernment from just me to the affirmation of others who I know are doing their best to be faithful as well. And when I frame it like that, it feels kind of like a relief. It feels like I'm part of a team, like I have a place to rest in. And this is incredibly countercultural. Perhaps this is the kind of witness we're meant to have. Perhaps this is a gift of being God's people that our Western individualism and self-sufficiency steals from us. And it seems to me this kind of encouragement and interconnectedness leads to us truly being God's people together. It allows us as individuals to be more wholly faithful, broadening our perspectives and perceptions and reminding us what we hope to be about. But it also draws us closer together, helping us work together as the body we're called to be. So aside from our individual need of support to practice being the people of God, we need each other to really bring about the kingdom. As individuals, we're not going to have much impact. But as a group, we can have a big difference. And I'm reminded of the old Miners Union song, Step by Step. Step by step, the longest march can be won. Many stones can form an arch, singly none. And by union, what we will can be accomplished still. Drops of water turn a mill, singly none. Our practice of the Quaker distinctives as a community and as a group begins to impact our larger community. It begins to change the world, to bring forth the kingdom, as it has done in many of the Friends Witnesses of the past. In theological circles over the past 20 years, like if you're paying attention to these theological discussions, there's been talk of a new Reformation. And we live in a time and a place that has some real similarities to the Protestant Reformation of 500 years ago. People are questioning religion and faith, and new technology has opened up the possibility of new information and new ways of thinking. So 500 years ago, it was the printing press that had just come out. Today, it's the internet. And we're aware that the church has not, in many ways, been the body of Christ that it's intended to be. And this can seem frightening or discouraging, and these new thoughts and these new ideas can feel threatening. But another way to look at this is there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for our confession of having missed what Christ calls us to and to embrace a new way of being. It's not hard to see that the world we live in needs hope, that it needs reconciliation. To use a real Christian-y word, it needs repentance from the toxic systems that are the norm. And we don't very often talk that way anymore. But what if we were to see these ways of being God's people not as legalisms or ideologies, but truly as a means to the redemption of the world? A redemption that would look like the end of political corruption, the end of the dehumanization of others, the end of greed, the end of the abuse of the earth. And maybe that sounds crazy, like it's too big or too much to hope for. But I know my heart breaks, as do many of yours, because we see all of these evils and abuses happening. And so often I feel helpless and discouraged. But perhaps instead, if we practice being the people of God and trust that God will work through our faithfulness, we can begin to shine into that darkness, maybe in ways that we've only imagined. And maybe the light that we're shining out will also be the light that illumines our own darkness and discouragement. So let's take some time to listen this morning, friends, to what Christ might speak to us. Maybe Jesus has a message directly for you, and if so, please listen to that. Or maybe it's for just a couple other people. Please share that with them. Or maybe it's for all of us. And if that's the case, please stand and a microphone will be brought so we can hear your word. There's some queries up on the screen if those are helpful. Please use them. If they're not, please ignore them. Let's take time to listen to Jesus together.